You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 13. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abide a faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
On our way to church today, we saw some coyotes, which was unusual for us because we hear them, but we never see them. But on our way to church, we took Indian Meridian, and just around the corner, there were these coyotes running across a field. And this field had been flooded out, and they got a shock. You could see the shock look on their face when they jumped across a little sort of a bush. And then in front of them was this water, which I guess they expected to see some pasture. And they turned around and jumped up in the air. And when they saw us, they were looking back at us. They're quite unusual looking dogs. And interesting wildlife we have out there. I love it. I love that wildlife. We've got these beautiful little birds, swallows, that have now hatched out, and their parents have been just busy feeding them and tending them, just 24/7, just going all the time. And now there's these four, well, they're hardly chicks anymore, but they were just a couple of weeks ago, we thought they're little chicks, but here they are, these almost full-grown birds along the top of the nest looking at you like this. And then they've flown off now, and they come back again when they get tired. So soon they'll be gone. But it's a beautiful thing to see this progression of nurture from the parents. Let us pray. We thank Thee, our Father, for this time we've got together to open the Scriptures. We thank Thee for the nature that is around us and all the creation that's provided for us and the tremendous care we see even from the parents of these little chicks. Lord, we pray we'd have the same care and more for our own family. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, up here, we've got 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8. Just look at it in your Bible. It says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And essentially, what we're going to do is we're going to look at some of the verbs in here because they're quite interesting. So here it says right at the very beginning, you know, the love. Hey, agape, love. And here, does not ever, not ever. Love never faileth. And then here you've got prophecies. And here, this unusual word here, katagethesontai, that relates to being destroyed. So I want to look at these words, verbs, to see what we can learn from them. And last time, you'll notice, we looked at this way. There is this more excellent way. That's how chapter 13 was introduced. And here is a thought. It's a thought I had last time, but for whatever reason, I just didn't express it. I had all sorts of other thoughts. But, you know, could you say this about the mystery? The revelation of the mystery. And yet, I will show you a more excellent way. I mean, anyone who reads the book of Ephesians and then thinks he or she could put on the end of that and yet show I you a more excellent way. There's no way in the wide world you could do that. You just can't do it. Why? Because you've hit the pinnacle. The whole point of Ephesians is to show you this great pinnacle of revelation. And That, I think, is something to really think about, you know. And yet, I show you a more excellent road. So, there is something more here than perhaps what a lot of Christians might think. They may want to take their marching orders and their way of life from these passages that we read here in 1 Corinthians. But what you must understand is that this book of 1 Corinthians finds itself in the middle of an economy where Jew was first, where God was reaching the nation of Israel, using signs and wonders, and using traditions, and using all sorts of things that Israel would be interested in, and try to bring them forward, provoking them to jealousy, trying to bring them forward into the terms of the new covenant given to Israel. That's the context, you see. So if you go back into the book of Acts, then what you're going to do is you're going to put yourself under the table, man. Under the table. Crumbs instead of a four-square meal. And then we went on and we showed you this idea of in part, for we know in part, we prophesy in part. This is another thing that's to be taken into consideration. This was in part. That is, in all respects, it was in part. For example, it says we prophesy in part. Notice the way it's written. Out of a part. For we know, out of a part. And we prophesy out of a part. It's not something which is complete. People were placed into this body and placed in there because of the function that they had, the part they had to play in that body. And the various members were various. There were some who were uncomely, if you read down here. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When that thing which is perfect is come. You see? When that thing, it's neuter, it's perfect, is come, then that thing which is in part shall be done away. That thing which is in part. Now, what? What's the important thing about this? Well, the important thing to see here is some verses we'll read shortly, which has to do with this idea of looking at something dimly. Now, if I take my glasses off, it's not a pleasant experience, but now, when I look at you people here, I can make out who you are because I can see the form, but it's very fuzzy. It's very fuzzy. And when I put my glasses on, wow! I can remember when I first found that I needed glasses. And I was watching TV and I said to my mom and I said to my sister, who was alive then, I said, what's wrong with this TV? I can't see a thing. What's wrong with it? Why don't they get this show right, you know? And they all looked at me and said, oh boy, you got problems, mate. So off we went and we got out my glasses. When I got my glasses on for the first time, oh, wow. Wow, what an experience. Well, it's a similar thing here. Okay, so this in part business meant that they could not see the whole. But what they did see was a part of that whole, right? It was something of the whole. And when I put them on, I see the reality, right? Okay. So one thing this in part had was, it was this business of a part in relationship to the whole reality. And that means, therefore, you cannot make this in part something that belonged to the revelation of the mystery, because that was kept secret from ages. So you can't make this in part in relationship to the revelation of something that was kept away from these people. This in part related to a reality which had to do with the kingdom promises. When that thing which is perfect is come. Yeah, there it is. All the kingdom promises. Did it also relate to the coming of Jesus Christ? Yes, it would have to. It would have to do with Jesus Christ, but not just Jesus Christ. It would have to do with all those things that the in part ministry related to, which was powers of the age to come.
That is the kingdom age which was to come.
And so as we read down here, in 1 Corinthians 12:27, it reminds us that now ye are the body of Christ and members in part. In part. That's right. That's the way the body was made. The body that was
represented during the book of Acts. Okay, this body that in 1 Corinthians mentioned, it was a body. It was a body of Christ, and members out of a part. It was transient. It was not something which was the fullness that was to come. Okay, that was something. And of course, there was another body at Rome, another one at Thessalonica, etc.
Okay, let's have a look at the next one. And I sort of made this thing up to show you the differences that you find in relationship to us in the green here. One body, Christ the head. It's a susoma. It's a joint body. It's not made out of a part. Okay, so today, let's carry on our reading. So we're in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. I know we read some of these before, but there's too much in here for me just to run on to the next chapter. So in verse 8 it says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now you notice charity, the love there, shall never faileth. It is never something that will leave its place. It will never fall to the ground. In other words, it's always going to be the top. It's always got that precedence. Charity, that's Christian love, never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. They shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. That means they shall stop. Okay? Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish. These two come from the same word, katageo, to destroy. To destroy. Now, you can destroy things for various reasons, right? You can destroy something in judgment. That's bad, and boom, there's judgment come on it. Destroyed, in that sense. Then you can get this kind of destruction, where the in part is replaced with something whole. Right? You can get that kind of context. Same idea. Just while we're in verse 8, and look at verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, that which in part shall be done away. And it talks about the childish sort of stage of things. And it says this in verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Yes, so that makes sense with the same picture here. You're at that childish stage, you see things in part, and then when you become a man, you realize, oh, now I see the fullness of it, and you put the childish things away. For now we see through a glass darkly, this is the picture I was talking about before, but then, face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Well, God knows us. There's some sort of godly knowledge that comes to us. And specifically, of course, it's talking about the Corinthians and those Christians in that age. But then shall I know even as also I am known. Here's the interpretation of what this means, that this in part stuff is destroyed, and specifically these prophecies and this knowledge, it means that a fullness of knowledge comes. Then you really know, you see. It's not in the context of it's all destroyed in the sense of some judgment coming on some bad thing, but rather this is simply a baby stage, childish stage, and then you grow up and you see the big picture. Okay, that's kind of important to see that. That's because that interprets that. That interprets the meaning of that. But I want you to see something else, which I, when I was studying this thing through, and I looked at this word for destroy, and I made a concordance out of it, and I just separated off the concordance where the Corinthian epistles are mentioned over on the right here, but on the left, are the remaining verses, starting from Luke 13. So this word for to destroy, this verb, it comes up in Paul's epistles, but not in Paul's epistles, in one place, and that's in Luke, and that's the first place. Most places, in fact, all places but one, it comes up in Paul's epistles. He's the one who uses this. So what I want to do is I want to look at this first usage because it just strikes you. It's very striking and something which I've learned from. Have a look at Luke with me at chapter 13. Again, 13, what an interesting number that we should come across this. Luke 13 and verse 7, let's just see the verse. And these are Jesus Christ's words. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? That cumbereth comes from this same verb, to destroy. Why destroy it the ground? In other words, this fig tree, because it's not functional, not bearing fruit, it's interpreted as bringing judgment on the ground in the sense it's not useful anymore and it's useless. It's being destroyed by this fig tree, which is not being productive. And then I thought, wait a minute, this is interesting. In the context of the fig tree, of this judgment, let's just back up a little bit here and see whether we can get a little bit more context to all this. If you just go across to Luke 12 and verse 54, because this is where it really begins, this whole thought. And it says, And he said also to the people, When you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, There cometh a shower, and so it is. So it looks like they're meteorologists of a kind. You know, they can predict the weather, and they can look at the signs to do with the weather, and the Lord says, And there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, There will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Hey, they're pretty good. Man, News 9, except a bit more accurate. Ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? Now he's talking about this time and he's calling them hypocrites. Pretty strong language the Lord uses. Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? Why is it you can't judge of yourselves what is right? And he goes on in verse 58, When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence to thou that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hale thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite. Okay, so here is this judgment coming on them, and if they do not adhere to these basic principles of right and wrong and make the correct judgment, then they will be accounted for the very last mite. You can discern these meteorological things, and you come out right in your predictions and your prophecies, but you cannot even discern this time. Watch out. Make righteous judgment, or there is going to be every mite to pay. It's pretty severe. It is severe. And then when you look at chapter 13, it says this in verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. So here comes Pilate. He mingles blood with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? You know, Do you think that they were really bad people because of this? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all in the same way, likewise, perish. Repent. Well, hold the phone now. We're starting to see all sorts of key words coming up in here, aren't we? We're looking at Israel. We've seen this in verse 6 where he talks about the vineyard and the fig and all the stuff to do with the parable we're coming to. I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent again, you shall all likewise perish. What's the point here? The point is here, these hypocrites are looking at one group over here or one group over there. See, they've got judgment coming on them. They are the ones that need to repent, not us. And Jesus is saying, hey, no. Lest ye all likewise perish, right? Repent, ye shall all likewise perish, right? Repentance is required of Israel. That's the context. Now we come to verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. Now the vineyard has been set up right through the Old Testament. I mean, it's just right through there. You can read it in Isaiah 5. You can read about it in Psalm 80. Lots of places where this is set up. And then, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. So a certain man had a fig tree. It's planted inside this vineyard.
Vineyard. And then here's the fig tree. And he comes, a certain man comes to find fruit on this. Right? He comes to find fruit on it.
He comes to his own, and his own received him not. He comes to the nation of Israel. And it says this in verse 7. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree. 3 years. Looking. And find none. Uh-oh. No fruit. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Why allow this thing to destroy the ground that it's living on? It's not profitable. And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also. So he came 3 years, no fruit. But the guy who was looking after the vineyard says, wait a minute, just give me some more time till I shall dig about it and dung it. He's going to, you know, look after the ground. He's going to dig around it, make sure the nutrients get into the roots, put additional nutrients around it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. After that shalt thou cut it down. Okay. So the Lord, he comes to get fruit, to get fruit off this fig tree, and he finds no fruit. Then in grace, there's more time given. There is a plowing around the field, there's putting manure around the fig tree. And then if there's no fruit, then after that, cut it down. After that, cut it down. So over here, what's going on is, okay, there's provoking of the tree. There's all sorts of signs and wonders given to Israel. The ground is being prepared and the manure put into it. The ministry's going on. But what happens? They rip open their shirts. We will not have this man to rule over us. Throw dust up in the air and rip their clothes apart. And this continues right to the end of the book of Acts.
And here we have the salvation of God sent to the Gentiles and that they will hear it.
Well, I find this kind of amazing, isn't it? That this context comes up here, right here, where we have signs and wonders and so on, these things being used to provoke Israel. The Jews seek after a sign, right? And the Greeks seek after wisdom. And the tongues are for a sign. We read about that in 1 Corinthians 14:22. So let's go back here to 1 Corinthians. I find this amazing because it dovetails exactly with what we have come to understand about the judgment given to Israel at the end of the book of Acts. So in 1 Corinthians 13, by the way, is my little graphic up here, you know, the Luke 13:7, then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit. Cut it down. Cut it down. Yeah, there was an axe laid at the root of the tree. 1 Corinthians 13, and it says this in verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. Faith. Well, we can understand that, can't we? This trinity here of faith, hope, and charity, we understand why these things would remain. Because these are the foundational things upon which all is built. Faith. Well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We come to understand by faith. We understand the worlds were created by the word of God. We understand all these things by faith, yes. Hope. What is the primary function of hope then? Why is this like one of those things that will remain? Why is hope? Well, do you know a dentist? Or have you got all these things removed now? Well, if you're having to go to a dentist and have work done on your teeth, you'll probably get the dentist saying things like, nearly done. It's almost over. Nearly finished. Why is that? Why are these little phrases that are passed on to you like that? Why are they given to you? They're given to you to increase hope. They are the light at the end of the tunnel. Now, if you remove the light from the end of the tunnel and people become hopeless, ho, 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 it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing that people become hopeless. And if a person inside sitting at that chair and they are hopeless, watch out, Mr. Dentist. I mean, it'd be a terrible thing to witness. It says, these three, but the greatest of these is charity, that is, the Christian love, upon which all of this is built, God's love. Now, here's something I'm doing. Because people have a mistaken notion of God's love, simply because they have a mistaken notion of the personality of God, I've begun a systematic study of God's nature in respect of his judgment. How does God exhibit judgment and rewards? How does he do it? And I'm going right through the Bible, but I'm going to start first of all with Paul's first epistle to the Romans. And it's really quite surprising, the fact that God's nature is exhibited there in terms of all forms of judgment. God is a loving God, yes. But my friends, he's not a God that sweeps stuff under the carpet. He will have to make an open dealing with sin. And if you accept his dealing with sin in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, then my friends, that's a great thing. Because to say no to that is to come under God's judgment outside of that. And outside of that, you'll find God is not a little lovey-dovey two-shoes kind of God of the liberals. You know, he's kind of strict. It's quite surprisingly strict and harsh on sin. So this is one of the things I'm looking at and understanding this even more and more. Now abideth. What does abide mean? To remain. Faith, hope, charity.
It's part of our calling here to understand the faith that has been delivered to us. It's part of our calling to understand the special hope that is given to us, the distinctive hope that is in the heavenly places that Paul talks about from prison. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. When he shall appear, the epiphania, when he appears, then we shall appear with him in the glory. That's a very distinctive hope. Very different hope that you find over here, which is related to the hope of Israel. And that's no surprise, is it? Because wasn't this in part ministry looking forward to kingdom promises? It has to do with the hope of Israel. All of these things. But the hope here is something very different. And then the love. This great love that we find wherewith he loved us. It's just surpassing love that you find that Paul mentioned here. So that's part of our ministry,
to make these things known specifically to the people of our calling, to our calling. Well, that's it for today, my friends. And I'm really excited about this. I was going to go into chapter 14 today, but, well, we'll do it next time. In verse 1, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. So if you don't get this right, if you don't rightly divide, then you're going to follow these instructions that were never given to you, and you'll start to desire spiritual gifts. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time that we've had together, for the ministry that we find in the Scriptures, the fact that Paul had these two ministries, one during the book of Acts and one afterwards to those after the catastrophe of Acts 28, which turns out to be a great blessing to us, the Gentiles. We pray, Lord, for our nation, that You would bless those that are seeking Thee and who are attempting to make Thy will known throughout this nation and abroad. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.